You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We get to chat with our friends in LCMS Office of National Mission because we're going to talk about worker wellness today.
Mm-hmm.
Worker wellness is important.
It's very important.
Care. And why is it important? Well, we're going to chat about that in just a moment. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin by visiting cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Deaconess Dr. Tiffany Maynor. She is the Managing Director for LCMS Office of National Mission. Welcome back to The Coffee Hour.
Thanks so much for having me. We're talking about one of my favorite areas of ministry right now.
Worker wellness.
Worker wellness. Yeah. So most people think of me and they think of life ministry, but I actually do more things than life ministry. And it's such a joy. I get to collaborate with people all across our synod, but worker wellness has a special place in my heart because that was what I did when I served in the New England district. I was focused on worker wellness 100% of the time.
Wow. And then we pulled you in here.
Yeah, it gave me more fun things to do.
More fun things to do. Well, and I said a managing director. There are a few managing directors in the LCMS office. Awesome office.
Awesome office. Yes.
LCMS.
We should put
awesome
that sign by our door.
National Mission.
There you go.
Which encompasses all kinds of things here that happen domestically for the most part, right?
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, there's a couple of managing directors. We have an executive director. We've got directors, we've got managers, lots of people. We serve and support our congregations and school ministries through our district offices. So here in the U.S., people sometimes think about mission as being someplace far away, and they forget that God gives us mission right around us. And so we serve our neighbors and love and share the gospel with them. So that's what we're focused on in the Office of National Mission, sharing God's love, his promises of forgiveness and salvation to the neighbors that he put right nearest to us, right wherever people are.
Mm-hmm. And on those front lines, right in the neighborhood, right in the community, our congregations. And so today we're going to talk about worker wellness and particularly what that means to congregational leaders. So let's define congregational leader first. What is a congregational leader?
Well, you know, sometimes people would hear that phrase and they might think, oh, I need to be, elected, appointed to a board or the church council or something like that. But we could think of leadership as servant leadership, right? So certainly congregational leadership could mean anyone on your board of elders, anyone on your church council, on your board of education, all of those roles that have defined. But there's all kinds of other ways that you can lead, right, Sarah? I think you probably have some thoughts on this.
I mean,
you've studied leadership an awful lot.
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can lead in all kinds of ways. If you're influencing people in any part of your congregation, that counts as leadership in a congregation, in my book anyway.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you because just like God's mission being right around us, there's all kinds of ways in which we lead the people who are right around us. So, you know, whether it's in the home or the people who are your neighbors in the pew that you sit next to, and you can invite them into the life of the church. So congregational leadership, let's think of it in the broad definition of all of the servant leaders in our congregations out there in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Why would a congregational leader, in the broad sense of the term, why would they be interested in worker wellness?
So worker wellness is highly related to congregational health and vitality and well-being. And that's because we need people to proclaim the gospel, right? So our health, our well-being of the workers, of our lay people, it allows them, when they're healthy and they're well, to be more energized, more vigorous in proclaiming the gospel in all of their vocations. So when we say worker wellness, and that can be a bit of a shorthand for the rostered church workers, our pastors, our teachers, our DCEs, deaconesses, directors of parish music, directors of family life ministry, directors of Christian outreach. There's a whole bunch of those rostered vocations. But there's other servants in the church too, other volunteer workers in the church, other lay workers in the church. So when we're talking about worker wellness, though, we're oftentimes talking about the people who the church compensates to serve on that congregation's behalf. And those rostered categories included in that.
And that could be a very long list in some congregations. That could be a very short list in some congregations.
Yeah.
Could be simply in some congregations, it's simply sole pastor.
Yep. Yeah. You have a church plant and maybe you've got even just a part-time pastor.
Yeah.
So congregations of all sizes and makeup of the staff. But it's really important to be thinking about worker wellness in general because, again, we not only want these people to be able to proclaim the gospel, but as brothers and sisters in Christ, we support and care for the entire body of Christ. So it's not just that, say, our pastor or teachers in a day school are responsible to care for the students and the members of the congregation. It's mutual. It's a mutual care for one another.
Earlier, you mentioned, I believe, a correlation between worker wellness and congregational health and vitality. What's that connection?
Yeah. So what we've learned from, it's data informed from some of the research we've been doing, is that the congregations that have this loving, caring culture, their workers are more well in both body and soul. And maybe we should define what that wellness is. We could talk about that in a minute or two. But, you know, we're not just talking about physical well-being. There's spiritual well-being too. So for our congregations, we know that the marks of spiritual well-being is the gospel rightly preached and the sacraments rightly administered. And so as a baseline, you know, LCMS congregations are well when those things are happening. But there's some added things that give vitality and life to a congregation and enables them to be able to reach out more to the neighbors that God has put around those congregations. And that's where having these energetic and well workers and energetic and well lay people is really helpful for the ministry there locally.
So how do we define worker wellness? What does that actually mean?
Yeah, well, I just hinted at it a bit. It's more than physical well-being.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of facets of well-being. And one thing that was developed about 25 years ago was really a model of Lutheran-specific well-being. How do we understand well-being? And it's different than what you might see if you go into your doctor's office and there's this, you know, nice chart on the wall, and they might have like physical well-being and, I don't know, cultural well-being and mental well-being. That can be really helpful to see it. But as Lutherans, we understand those other facets of well-being as being encompassed as part of our spiritual well-being. Mm. You know, the core of our wellness as individuals is our baptismal identity, that which God has given us, how he claimed us to be his own in baptism. That is what it makes us well, because otherwise we're lost and dead in our sin. So you're not too well if you're dead in sin. So we start with our baptism. We also end with our baptism, which is, of course, completed in Christ, in his resurrection and ascension, and how he'll one day come back for us. But here on this earth, there's these other facets of well-being include our emotional well-being, our financial well-being, mm-hmm. our vocational well-being, how it is that we serve, enjoy with all of our vocations, not just church work vocations, but our family vocations, our vocation of neighbor, and emotional. I already mentioned emotional, intellectual. That was the other one I was thinking of. So are we curious? Are we learning? Is there a lifetime of growing and learning? So there's this whole person view of wellness. And of course, physical well-being plays into that as well. It's just people, that tends to be their knee-jerk reaction. Like, oh, you want to talk about wellness? You want to talk to me about eating healthy and exercising more? And the answer is yes. Yes, that's good. We all need to do that. But there's more to it than eating healthy and being physically active. Mm-hmm.
So what happens when those things are not in order?
Oh, yeah.
When those things get discombobulated, maybe it's just a little bit here or there, but in that model, yeah, what happens when those things are discombobulated?
Yeah, so the graphic we've created to understand the Lutheran perspective on well-being is called the wellness wheel. And I kind of like to think of it this round sphere, but more like a top, like a spinning top, a child's toy. And, you know, you like pump it up and turn it loose on the floor and it goes off spinning.
I've always thought about my health in terms of spinning plates. So.
Spinning plates. It's not it's kind of like that.
Keeping them all spinning at
the same
time.
And if things in your life and your well-being are not perfectly centered on this, what is that thing called, this plate spin on? I don't even know. Whatever that.
I haven't done it before in real life, so.
In top, the little,
just in your brain,
you know, spoke.
Yeah. Or spindle, the wheel. Maybe?
Spindle,
or something.
Yes, yeah. Like a spindle. Yeah.
There you go.
If that gets off balance or it's not really sharp, and then everything falls over, right? So same thing happens with our health and well-being. If say you're not completely well intellectually, then that impacts the rest of the aspects of your well-being. If you're not well emotionally, if you're experiencing a lot of anxiety or depression, not only does it affect you emotionally, but it can affect you physically. It can make you not want to go to church, and then your spiritual well-being is impacted. So there's a lot of interplay between the various aspects of our well-being. So it's not just like you're perfectly fine in one area of your life, you're going to be fine in everything. There's that kind of give and take.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're not well, things can come to a bit of a crashing halt in your life.
Yeah.
To take that metaphor a little bit further.
Yeah. We've listed a lot of different facets of what we consider wellness. It feels like a lot. Are there, and I think this is kind of what we're getting at, but how do we rally around our church workers? And really, because church work is, it's a lot. How do we help our church workers be well like this?
There's a lot that we can do, and it could be different and unique in each place, in each congregation, but it comes down to bearing burdens together, right? Living out life together, knowing what's going on in one another's lives and carrying the burdens. You're right that church work can be really demanding, and so can a lot of other vocations.
Yeah.
But sadly, Satan puts a kind of a bullseye target on church workers and comes after them. And it's a spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some ways, it can be harder than in some vocations because of the spiritual warfare and the ways that Satan wants to take down our church workers so that the gospel isn't proclaimed. So, as the body of Christ in the congregations, as we bear burdens with our church workers, as we love them and we care for them and fold them into our family, become, the family that God has created a congregation to be, that can help our workers do much better in their well-being. So we're starting some new things. And I think that's some opportunities we have to provide to our congregations to learn how to do this better.
We're going to find out more about how you could be a part of that in just a moment. We are talking with Deaconess Dr. Tiffany Maynor. She's the Managing Director for LCMS Office of National Mission. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're talking with Deaconess Dr. Tiffany Maynor. She's Managing Director for LCMS Office of National Mission. We're talking about church worker wellness. Now, quite often when we talk about wellness, I think about my wellness, and we think of it kind of as a solo person thing, like you said earlier. We're talking about wellness. That means like what I'm eating and I need more exercise and all those things. We tend to think of it kind of, even though we might think that there are so many aspects of it, we really think of it as more me and not about what that means for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about church worker wellness, when we talk about worker wellness, how is this a community thing? Yeah. How is this connected to the whole body of Christ gathered together in a congregation?
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad that you brought that up, because we think about some words that are kind of focused on ourselves, like even the phrase self-care. And actually as Christians, it's probably better that we think about this as stewardship, right? So there's some aspect of personal stewardship where, it is incumbent upon me to make sure that what I put into my body is going to fuel it well. And I'm, going to be active so that I can, my muscles will stay active throughout all of my life. But because we understand our well-being as vocational and relational, other people have a part in this as well. And we invest in one another's, and so we help one another steward our well-being too. And so for us, the community aspect of the Christian life, well, one, begins in the family. Two, it also begins in a congregational life as well. So you know, just as family members, we help one another to be well. We take care of one another when we're physically sick or if we're sad or if we're lonely. We can do the same thing in our congregations. If they are really living out the life of a congregation well, they'll take interest and notice of one another, the congregation members and the church workers. And so they create this culture of love, support, of well-being.
What does that require of a congregation to foster an environment like that? Because not everyone is going to gravitate toward having that kind of culture necessarily. You know, everyone has different gifts. Not everyone is really wired to be that kind of outwardly, I don't want to say caring, that sounds bad, but not everyone is really wired to ask questions and be curious all the time about people. What does that require of a congregation to have that kind of environment where we intentionally care about other people like that?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that question, because it can be pretty simple. It can be complex and it can be big and there can be a lot of things to it, but it can be as simple as talking to one another and praying for one another,
yeah.
You know, showing interest. So often in our congregations, people kind of characterize like the pastor's job is to take care of me, right? Mm-hmm. Not that I actually have responsibilities to him. We make promises to our church workers when we install them, and we promise to pray for them. We promise to support them by our gifts, which means it's like a paycheck. and we don't think about those things week in and week out. So I often encourage places, if you want to develop a culture of love and care, simply ask your church workers and your fellow members of the congregation how they're doing in their life. And here's the challenge on the opposite side. The person who's being asked that question has to be real and answer it truly, not just be like, oh, fine, everything's great, everything's wonderful.
Right, yeah.
Because what if it's not? And it's not always perfect and wonderful, but we just say that, fine, good. So we ask these questions, we answer honestly, and then we can pray for one another and be really tangible about whatever we hear coming from the church worker, how we can meet their needs. I mean, maybe an answer is really something like, I'm pretty lonely. I moved here a year or two ago and I haven't made any friends here yet. Oh, there's a really easy answer to that. The congregation member can invite the church worker over for dinner at home, right? Or how about we go out for a walk and talk? Or, you know, we can get together and have some time of prayer every week. It doesn't have to be anything too expensive, too complicated, but sometimes we need the obvious pointed out to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the LCMS Office of National Mission has a pilot coming up. What is this pilot and what does that mean? Like, what would participation in this pilot look like?
Yeah, so we have been doing a lot of research into the congregations and the church workers that are exemplars in wellness. So we went to the district leadership across the Synod and said, tell us the congregations that are the most caring and supportive and loving places that foster the well-being of your church workers. And then we interviewed these congregations. So we spent a lot of time talking to these places that are already doing this very well and finding out what they were doing. And so now this pilot project, we want to invite some congregations who would like to improve to be a part of this. And we're going to have some sharing of what we learned through this research, perhaps some matching up of congregations with one another so that we can learn from one another as to what might be done. And of course, it's going to have to be modified for whatever the local context is like. I mean, if you have different size congregation or you have a different makeup to your leadership or, you know, just the community itself is a little different. Of course, it'll be customized, but you know, we learned some things about how the relationships develop between the congregation and the church workers, how the church workers interact with the congregation members. And so this pilot project will share all of those things. It'll take more time than we've got on the coffee hour. But and then the congregation can decide what to implement and what not to. And at the end of it, again, become a culture that's been improved for care and support and love between both workers and the members of the congregation.
So what kind of commitment would a church be making, would congregation leaders be making if they want to be a part of the pilot program?
Yeah, so the commitment would be, are your lay leaders going to be supportive of this? Are you willing to try some things? Are you willing to think a little differently about what you might have been doing and then create some goals for yourself? We're not going to say this is what you have to do. We're going to say, here's what congregations have been doing that's proven successful. You think about what would work and make sense for you, make some goals around that, and we're going to help walk with you as you do that. So it's just, you know, it can't be one person committing an entire congregation. There's got to be some commitment from the congregational leadership as a whole that we want to participate in this, and then some commitment to some follow through. Like, we're going to define some things and set some markers out there for ourselves, and we'll check back in a few months and see how things are going. So the church workers also should be supportive. So that's a, you know, commitment that needs to be made, that the church workers are also willing for the congregation to be part of the pilot project.
So ultimately, what could be the benefits of participating? What would be some ideal outcomes?
Some ideal outcomes would be that, and this is a long-range outcome, right? You don't see this kind of outcome with a week of participating in a pilot project.
Congratulations. Everybody's better.
Oh, well, kind of better. Yeah. But your congregation becomes a place where people can know and mark the love that you have for one another and the joy. So that in that sense, it becomes, you know, much more external than just your congregation, but that your whole community can say, like, look, that's a place where people love one another and there's great joy there. And I want to be a part of that. And workers say, I cannot envision ever wanting to go be employed or, you know, serve somewhere else because it is so loving and supportive and joyful here that I and my family are very well being here.
Can you give us a bit of a hint to some of the things that you found out from the congregations you talked to? I know we only have a few minutes, but this is all very exciting.
Oh, yes. This is my favorite thing, actually. So what we found out from both workers and congregation members is that there's a certain level of relationship that needs to develop between the worker and the congregation. And for people who've gone through church worker training programs, sometimes they hear, and there's a bit of a, there's not complete agreement on if church workers should be friends with their members of their congregation. And that's not what I'm talking about here, because that's not a settled question. And so I don't have all the answers on that one. But there's an element of relationship that needs to be there. There has to be some sharing and trusting going on, because what we heard from some research of congregation lay leaders where the workers weren't all that well, they were saying, we don't think the workers trust us to share what's going on in their lives and in their hearts. So they're holding back, and the congregation lay leaders are saying, we want to bear their burdens, but they don't trust us. Well, by contrast, in these places where they are, you know, great examples of wellness, there's a more open and trusting relationship, and there's a sharing of what's going on in their lives and a bearing of burdens that's going on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the challenge to church workers is to be more open, to entrust some of the heartache that they might be experiencing with their lay leaders at their congregation. And then the challenge for the lay leaders is to care for them through that, pray with them, spend time with them, and let them know that you're praying for them, that you're concerned for them. And then it helps weather challenges that come along, because sadly, our Christian life is not without suffering. So we need people to accompany us and remind us of our Lord's love and faithfulness, strengthening his forgiveness for us as we go through those challenges.
So currently there is an invitation for participants, congregational leaders, to sign up to participate in the pilot. How can we learn more? What do we need to know for lay leaders to step up, congregational leaders, I should say, to be a part of the pilot?
Yeah, so we've got about a month. By July 15, we want to hear from the congregation lay leaders if they're interested. It's not a commitment that you have to be in the pilot project. We may have more that wish to get information than we actually have spaces for, but we need you to respond to a link, and you can get it on lcms.org, and you can just use the search bar and put in
We'll share it in the notes today,
pilot project.
Too.
Oh, yeah, that'll be great. Check the show notes. There'll be the link there. And just indicate we want to learn a little bit more by July 15. And then we're going to have some follow-up Zooms and some conversation about, you know, this is more of what a commitment would look like. This is about how many months you could expect for your goal setting to happen. And then congregations, you know, even just through that process, we'll get to learn a little bit more about well-being.
Very good. So you can look for that in the program notes. You can look for that link as well, the Worker Wellness Pilot. Our guest today, Deaconess Dr. Tiffany Maynard. She's Managing Director for LCMS Office of National Mission. Thanks so much for sharing with us about this upcoming pilot. So we have until July 15th, is that right?
July 15th.
To sign up to participate in this pilot. Thank you so much for being our guest and being a part of the Coffee Hour today.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.